you've got the LGBT curriculum, some of the challenges that are posed through there, right? Trying to undermine the foundations that we have as Muslims.
Even many Christians were impressed at the Muslims there in Detroit.
Poster of two young Muslim women that were kissing each other, which was clearly, you know, just meant to be provocative towards the Muslim community. It's like, we're getting hit from all sides.
Media, the news, they were showing what they were showing, they were blurring it out. Did you see that documentary, What is a Woman? Someone shared it with me, so he's from a Jewish background.
I think if you're super religious and, like, bro, I'm Jewish, and the Quran is like, there's a lot of truth to the Quran, bro. Like, a lot of stuff that I really like stand by. Like, the Quran is beautiful.
We have one God, his name's Allah, Allah. And his final messenger's Muhammad, peace be upon him. This is our religion, Islam, Islam. This is the Deen Show.
When I was ready to talk about it, I would only talk to you.
I was explaining how much respect I have for the faith of Islam.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the Deen Show. I'm your host, and I have one of the earlier guests here. It's been a while. Sheikh Omar Suleiman, how you doing?
How you doing, man? How you been?
Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen.
Mashallah. Feels like we just jumped back into 2010, man.
Yeah, right?
Alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah. How are things here in Texas?
Alhamdulillah. As you can see, man, the weather is nice and warm. Mashallah. Mm-hmm. Everything is wonderful. Alhamdulillah. I've been out for a while, so I got to come back. My first Jumu'ah back, mashallah. I got to do it and have you there with me. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin, at VRIC. So, alhamdulillah. Everything is well. It's beautiful here.
Yes, it is. Alhamdulillah.
It's more beautiful because you're here, man.
Mashallah. Alhamdulillah. I wanted to, ask you, were you, I don't know why I have this picture in my head, way back, you know Sheikh Yahya Ibrahim?
Of course.
I don't know how long ago when he made this turn, and I'm thinking like, were these brothers, I don't remember exactly, but he was much heavier before, right?
Yeah.
And you lost a lot of weight also yourself, didn't you?
Yeah, mashallah, Sheikh Yahya made a much more dramatic change, mashallah.
Yeah.
He's amazing, man.
Yeah.
And he's one of the closest brothers in the world.
I was a lot heavier before, so I started taking nutrition serious, and I was like, and I was really pushing. I was like, did these brothers watch some of my programs? Or I was going, because talking about we need to get Coca-Cola, we need to get all this sugar all out of the masjid.
No, alhamdulillah. I had taken exercise and all that stuff seriously about a decade ago.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. So if you watch my old stuff from like 2008, 2009.
Yeah.
It was around the time, I mean, it was a difficult time in my life. That's when my mom had passed away. I let Hamma. So I kind of lost myself for a few years and then came back to getting back into fitness and staying a little bit disciplined.
How's that going? How's your discipline with that? I mean, because
good,
that, I mean, Islam is a complete way of life, you
absolutely.
Know? Absolutely. You got to also take care of the iman of the trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us, the body, huh?
That's right, alhamdulillah. You know, I try to exercise, but then, you know Sheikh Abdullah Durul?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man, he just makes me feel bad every time I see him, man. Because, mashallah, he could pick me up in my old, pick up five of me in my old state.
Yeah.
And throw me around. But no, alhamdulillah, man, we got a good group of brothers here, mashallah, that constantly, you know, work out together, play sports together, stay at it together.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not all like Sheikh Abdullah Durul or like you, man, mashallah, always working out in the gym at the MMA spots and stuff like that. Yeah. So we're, alhamdulillah, doing the best that we can. But you're right, your body's an amana, and the more you take care of yourself, the more da'wah you can do as well, the more good work you can try to do as well. So alhamdulillah.
You can't take it with you when you go. Or you can't take this with you when you go. And you can't take this with you when you go. Brothers and sisters, we're all going to depart from this life. And all of our material possessions to our money will stay behind. But your reoccurring investment in the Deen Center will continue to grow even when you leave this life. So go ahead and make that reoccurring investment in a masjid and mega da'wah center that will benefit you in this life and in the next. Click the link below, donate right now. May God Almighty Allah reward all of you.
Yeah, I just recently, I had, because we're like hanging by a thread, you just never know. Like, I just had someone here approach me at the masjid, a brother who was living in Milwaukee, and he's here now with you guys, and I interviewed someone from Milwaukee, a brother by the name of Yaqub, and I was just told that young brother, he's got to be in his late 20s, early 30s, and that he was just put on hospice, 3 to 6 months to live, had some heart condition or something.
I give him full shifa.
Ameen.
Give him 4.5 years.
And that just reminds me of, you know, how temporal and how sacred this life is that we have. It's so short at any time, and people are just all over being slaves to this, slaves to that, you know. And you talked about, you know, being a slave to your creator, to Allah. Can you go ahead and elaborate on that?
Yeah, so the concept of ubudiyyah, the concept of being a slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ultimately speaks about people as being enslaved to multiple things. Many people are enslaved to their desires. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions people that take their desires as gods. Some people are enslaved to their difficulties. They can't see beyond their difficulties. And in fact, anything that they then worship or that they include in the arena of worship and servitude is with one sole intention of escaping a difficulty. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ. There are some people that worship Allah on an edge. They're like on a cliff. So their worship of Allah is insincere, because if good is, you know, coming to them, then they stay on. But if hardship comes to them, they jump off of the cliff, right? They leave their creator. And so their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was either insincere or inconsequential. It wasn't true servitude. It wasn't true slavery to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are people that are enslaved to their friends, the opinions of people, and how other people view them and perceive them. And they completely shape and mold their entire lives to fit other people's perception. Some people are enslaved by their fears. And, you know, fear of others or fear of events or fear of incidents, right? And Islam kind of comes with this full package of liberation, true liberation of the self. There's a very famous statement from Rabi'i ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he walked in front of one of the rulers of Persia, and he said, "Inna Allah ta'athana li nukhrij al-ibad min ibadati al-ibad ila ibadati rabbil ibad, wa min dhiq ad-dunya ila sa'ati ad-dunya wal akhirah, wa min jawr al-adyan ila 'adl al-islam." Said that Allah has sent us to liberate people from being slaves to other slaves to being slaves of the Lord of all slaves. So you're no longer enslaved to man, and from the injustice of other ways to the way of Islam, and from the constriction of this life to the expanse of this life and the hereafter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liberates us, and we feel that true liberation only when we entrust ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we enslave ourselves and serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with everything that we have.
I want you to paint that picture for people who don't know this scenario. This man is coming in front of a king, right? A ruler.
Yeah.
And it just, I want people to really like picture this. Paint this, how is he coming in? He's like walking with, what is he walking with, you know, on this fancy rug or whatnot, and he's coming in front of the ruler over here, and they invited him to see who these Muslims are. Can you elaborate on that? This is really deep.
It is absolutely deep, because there was a pretentiousness to that, right? There are all sorts of objects and illusions of superiority that are, you know, put forth to give people a rank that they don't have. And so the thrones and the garments and the allure to status and authority, all of that, all of those appeals are false appeals. And essentially people elevating themselves beyond what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed them to elevate themselves with. And when you have a person that sees through all of that, right, that doesn't shrink in the presence of those people, like Musa Islam, like Moses, peace be upon him, and the Pharaoh. Moses didn't shrink, because he saw right through the pretentiousness. He saw right through all of the false appeals of Pharaoh to power and to authority. And so Rabi' ibn Amir radiallahu anhu is a Bedouin man, right? And he's a very simple man, and the red carpet doesn't impress him. The throne doesn't intimidate him. Mm-hmm. The spear does not cause him any fear. He is liberated, because he only considers the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout that entire process. And so when you talk about the hierarchy of needs of a person, right? Maslow's hierarchy of needs says self-actualization. In Islam, that's wala yakhafuna lawmat la'am. They don't fear the blame of the blamer. That a person ascends to a point spiritually to where Allah becomes their only goal. Allah becomes their only pursuit. God becomes their only goal. God becomes their pursuit. God becomes their audience. You know, a lot of times people talk to me about, you know, just from a spiritual perspective, like the sight of other people, riya, which is to show off, mm-hmm. right? That some people do good only to be seen by others. Well, the Prophet ﷺ called that a hidden shirk. You're turning that partner. It's a hidden form of polytheism because you're turning that person into a partner of God, because you're starting to worship for Him. Even if you're not worshiping Him, you only worship for Him. And some people will say, but Sheikh, what do we do? Because we struggle with this, right? You know, we do good things and sometimes we don't know if the intention is for Allah, if it's for that other person that's watching. And the believer settles that by becoming so aware of the sight of God upon them that whether they are in private or in public, they're only really considering His sight. So when they're in private and their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're generating enough of a connection to the sight of Allah upon them to where when 20 other people enter into the room, they're only considering the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so think of it this way, if you're addressing an audience and a prime minister walks in or a really prominent celebrity, if there are 300 other people in there, you're thinking about that guy in the front row, mm-hmm. right? For us, we're thinking about the Lord of the heavens and the earth, wherever we are. And so these companions were so liberated in that sense, because they were only considering the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you could put forth your throne, you could put forth your cloak, you could put forth all of your appeals to power and prestige and prominence, but it does not appeal to me because I'm focused on that. And that's what tazkiyah does, what spirituality does for the believer. It puts them in the servitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And a person liberates themselves from being a slave to their desires, from being a slave to the approval of others, from being a slave to power, from being a slave to the pursuit of anything that is worldly, by committing themselves entirely to the Lord of the heavens and the earth.
Well, you have Muslims who are doing that. Muslims, ones who have submitted their will to the Creator of the heavens and the earth, and they're trying to live their lives peacefully in accordance with what God Almighty Allah has ordained for them to do. And now you see, you know, we struggle like anybody. Everybody has their struggles, and you know, you go through life and you deal with different challenges and whatnot. Every generation has their own set of challenges, but we're seeing something that's very saddening. We're seeing something in today's time. It's something like we haven't seen in no other generation. It's hitting us here. And how would you, the sexualization that's happening with the children in the schools, you'll see like when now you, as you're in Texas here, I don't know if it's the same, you know, you have a big Christian community, even Jewish community, people who want to live, you know, by certain values, and they would send their children to learn math, reading, science. And now, you know, you see what they're doing. You know, they're just recently, I just did something where they had the health department person coming for a particular group of people, and now they're passing around these toys, you know, and talking you know, it's you feel shy even discussing it. But this is a big challenge, you know. Is that same thing happening here? As I don't think as much as like places like Chicago and California.
Look, you know, subhanAllah, we face different challenges in different phases of our lives and where we are in different states as well, right? Yeah. Different communities. And so,
but not Texas here. This is where they have the cowboys and the, you know.
We have our own set of challenges here. Yeah. We have our own set of challenges, right? But, you know, to kind of walk that back a bit, right? Yeah. So I grew up in Louisiana. I was the only Muslim in my school. I went to public school my whole life. I didn't really have to identify as a Muslim or not really being a Muslim because it was not really consequential. But I think the pressures of Muslims growing up in public school, for example, prior to some of the madness that we're seeing with sexual curriculum right now or sexualized curriculum right now, a lot of it was just being the Muslim that's kind of out of place, being looked at differently, having to struggle with being a stranger, you know, school dances, pork in the cafeteria.
Yeah.
The racialization, maybe if you were from another country or whatever it may be, right? Those were kind of the pressures. Then you got the post 9/11 world, right? And so that's right after us, you know. Mm-hmm. And post 9/11, people going to school, subhanAllah, being looked at as terrorists and being looked at as violent and having to deal with the baggage of the hysteria after 9/11. And that's another unique challenge. And so a lot of people wanted to change their names and wanted to kind of move away from being Muslim. And then now you have the curriculum challenges, the sexual education that comes in and just makes things so much more complicated. These elements, these things that are put forth that are entirely opposed to our value system as Muslims. And that's another challenge to them. Now, it depends where you go, right? So in Texas, for example, you still got like the first introduction to Islam is going to be 9/11 here and Al-Qaeda and ISIS.
That's still going on?
That's unfortunately here in Texas in the curriculum, that's a huge thing. But then some
What do you mean in curriculum? They're still...
Yeah. So like, for example, my kids were in... They are in Islamic school. Yeah. That's one of the appeals to Dallas, right? Is that we have a lot of Islamic schools. But, you know, when the pandemic, 2020, right? You have the shutdown that happens and then now the schools are shut down. And I remember we put our kids into... We thought it was going to be okay, like an online public school, right? They're online. What's the worst that could happen? And within the first week, it was like, who attacked us on 9/11? And it was Muslims. You know, it was crazy, right? Yeah. This was considered one of the better public schools, right? So the public school curriculum is very Islamophobic in that sense, right? Anti-Muslim, driven by that sort of really raw post 9/11 hysteria. ISIS is put, you know, they'll actually watch videos of ISIS and stuff like that. Wow. And be told that this is Islam. So that's a challenge for them, right? Then you go to places like Chicago, I think some of the more liberal states, the bluer states, right? And you've got the LGBT curriculum, some of the challenges that are posed through there, right? Trying to undermine, you know, many of the foundations that we have as Muslims and that a lot of people of faith have. And it's just, it's really challenging in that sense, right? Michigan, what happened over there. I think what we have to do, first and foremost, and this is multifaceted, right? But we teach our children this idea of ghurba, this idea of being strange, in a way that's empowering. That you have the truth, that you have a purpose in life, and people are going to chip away and challenge that purpose in different ways. But anchor yourself in the Quran and the Sunnah, and then take inspiration, you know, from the Prophet ﷺ and from the companions. And some of these stories are not just there for us to marvel at of these great people of the past, right? You asked, you know, so paint the picture. I do a class on the Sahaba every Tuesday night called The Firsts, right? I talk about the companions. We anchor ourselves in those stories, in the Quran, the Sunnah, the Seerah, and those stories. And we keep ourselves grounded through that. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stories of the Prophets that came before. We have the stories of the Prophets in the Quran, we have the story of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we have the stories of the multiple companions around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and those that came after. So it gives us something to anchor ourselves in. So to really help our children develop this this strong sense of being anchored in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, servants of Allah, and that not only should you not buckle under pressure, but you should challenge the pressure, whether it's political or whether it's social, cultural, and don't be afraid to challenge it. Don't be afraid to express who you are and articulate who you are as a Muslim, of course, with wisdom and with the methodology of the Prophet ﷺ, but don't be afraid to articulate who you are and to challenge it. And some people are going to get aggressive and abrasive with you as a result of that, but don't be afraid to challenge it. And I think that, you know, Muslims face this, you know, in different ways, this type of pressure in different ways, you know, and I think that it's important for us, inshallah ta'ala, to challenge the pressure in different ways. Ideologically, some people are going to need to deconstruct some of the underlying philosophies that drive these types of things. Yeah. Some people are going to need to construct an Islamic framework. That's, you know, very much so part of the deen, not packaging anyone else's way, but actually talking about the way of the Quran and the Sunnah and building those constructs, inshallah ta'ala, for us to offer to ourselves and to society around us, because we want good for everyone around us. Some of us are going to need to challenge the Texas curriculum, and some of us are going to need to challenge the Chicago curriculum, and ultimately we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with us, inshallah ta'ala, when we do that. And we should articulate this as a way of what? That look, we are committing ourselves to something greater, And there is no way that you're ever going to take our deen away from us. That whether you want to attack us with pressure, political pressure and the fear-mongering that often comes from the right-wingers, right? Or whether you want to attack us with the social and cultural pressure and, you know, much of what comes through the left wing, right? We're often caught between annihilation and assimilation. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like one side wants to kill us, one side wants to change us. And it's like, no, we're going to be Muslims. We're going to live ourselves committed to the way of our Lord and the way of our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we're going to live our lives with dignity. And we're going to challenge those pressures, inshallah ta'ala, however they come, because we're slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are in that process, inshallah ta'ala, going to teach our children to be the same, to be confident in their Islam, to be willing to challenge that wherever it comes. And I'm very proud, honestly, of many young Muslims and parents even that will challenge it, right? Mm-hmm. That will take a stand and that will say that, no, this isn't my religion. In Canada, I was in Canada where you had some of the, I think there was a poster of two Muslim women that were kissing each other. Mm-hmm. Young Muslims that challenged that, right? And that actually made a difference in that. And I went there, subhanAllah, and it was in London, Canada, where you had a car, you know, just think about the different pressures, like I think this captures it well. A man who ran over a Muslim family, mm-hmm. and killed them, may Allah accept them as shuhada. Amen. And in the same place, you had like, you know, this poster of two young Muslim women that were kissing each other, which was clearly, you know, just meant to be provocative towards the Muslim community. It's like, we're getting hit from all sides, but the youth over there really are some of the most impressive youth, and they've been forced to be that way because of the pressure that's been hitting them from multiple sides. I mean, Allah bless them. They held themselves with a lot of dignity, with a lot of beauty. And I was very proud of them. And I told them when I went and I saw them, I said, you know, Allah has made you a very special, you know, group, a very special community that you literally had to fight, you know, pressure from all sides just for being Muslim, for just trying to be yourselves. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed them with much success and so much confidence in the process of all of that.
What do you think, what was your reaction when you saw, like many, even many Christians were impressed at the Muslims there in Detroit? They stepped up, you know, if you don't, you know, they were putting these books in the curriculum in the schools and the libraries, and the Muslims, you know, saw this, and these were books that now with pictures that it's really strange that the media, the news, they were showing what they were showing, they were blurring it out.
Because it was so, so vulgar.
It was so vulgar, but then the kids, they were giving these things to the kids, and you could see the Muslims took a stand. The only thing I saw that was missing in many people, a leader to step up and lead.
Well, no, I think many of the local imams, alhamdulillah, did a good job there in Detroit, you know. And,
In contact with anyone there, or did you?
I was actually.
What did you think? What did you think of the whole situation? How this and it goes back to what you're saying to challenge.
Yeah, yeah. No, look, I think that when parents come together and challenge a school board,
yeah,
that's one of the most effective ways of organizing in your community.
Yeah.
So, I think at the end of the day, I mean, you have to look at that situation of Muslims, parents that came together.
Don't be scared to challenge. Don't be scared to...
Especially, look, man, these people at the end of the day are elected officials, right? Your local school boards, your local representatives. Don't be afraid to challenge that. Absolutely not. And so I think that those parents, you know, alhamdulillah, they came together and they said, this is outrageous, you know, what's happening with our children. And I think that we should take that as a lesson, inshallah ta'ala, around the country. You know, here in Irving, Texas, we had a similar situation with our public library. And actually, Muslim parents here got together, alhamdulillah, but I mean, and with people that were concerned from other faith communities even, and said, this is ridiculous. We don't want our children being sexualized in a public school library, right? Yeah. This is not something that we want to see happening. So I think that, alhamdulillah, may Allah bless them and reward them. You know, when parents come together and say articulately that this is not what we want, and they work with the local imams, they work with sort of the local community leaders. You know, I think that it's something that's very powerful and profound, and inshallah ta'ala can be done around. And I think just to connect it to the initial discussion here, right, when you talk about ubudiyyah, right, this idea of servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this at the core of this, right, this idea of, you know, transcending not just some of the basic notions of who we are, you know, in the sense of gender, right? But transhumanism, right? This idea of transcending our humanity, right? You know, and I think that we have to think about this going forward, right? With the ascent of AI, you know, artificial intelligence and so many other things, that people are trying to transcend their very humanity. And our children are being told that the only way that you can liberate yourself is through, you know, injecting yourself with all sorts of hormones and expensive surgeries and transcending the very essence of who you are. And this is opposed to your fitrah. This is opposed to your natural inclination. That's such a that's such a horrible message to be giving to children when they go to school, right? And that's such an injustice to the parents that send their children to these different schools, where they're going to be, you know, fed some of these notions of happiness and these notions of transcending your humanity, right? Instead, we, inshallah ta'ala, can ground our children in something that's better and something that's closer to the fitrah, closer to their natural being, their natural way, their natural disposition, and help them grow in confidence and being able to articulate that as well, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And I think that parents need to do that. Parents need to play a role. I think that, frankly, this has to become a more wholesome discussion about, you know, a lot of parents put their kids in public schools because Islamic school tuition is prohibitive. So we got to think about the tuition of Islamic schools and making Islamic schools more accessible to parents in some of these communities, and that we need to make sure that we're teaching the right curriculum in these Islamic schools, inshallah ta'ala, to construct a better worldview, to construct something that's more wholesome and that's more in tune with the fitrah. And inshallah ta'ala, we can continue to challenge, you know, the various pressures that are around us, again, with wisdom, inshallah ta'ala, and together, and everyone playing their role as we go forward.
Do you think we should take as a community a more proactive instead of reactive role in this, where now it's coming to your door, as many are seeing? You know, you just, we can be talking about so many other things, but then I'm kind of forced to talk about it also because I fear for not just my children, for others' children's, for, you know, just humanity in general. You see what's going on. They're trying to convince you that, I mean, it's clear, you know, God Almighty Allah is telling us the man is not like the woman. You have the only one who doesn't have a gender is the creator of the heavens and the earth. So now, young, impressionable kids at the age of 4, 5, 6 are being led to believe that they can go ahead and be, you know, a wolf tomorrow, or they can go ahead and be a woman can be a man can be a woman. I cannot believe that we're living at a time like this, you know. So what do you think for people who are kind of within the law, you know, not calling to any bullying or violence, any of these things, but just practicing our freedom of speech within the law, you know, as a community who lives by certain values ordained by the Creator of the heavens and the earth. As Muslims, we believe that's from the verbatim word of God Almighty, the Quran and the Sunnah. So how can we, and what do you suggest, instead of it comes knocking your door, you're at your masjid, and then you're reacting to it instead of being proactive?
Jazakallah khair. Look, I think that the pace at which things have been unfolding are a major cause of concern, right? And it's crazy, right? If
you it's a big pace, right?
5, 6, 7 years, like how much of the world has changed in the last 7, 8 years, right? And it's like things that we would have never thought we'd see in our lifetime happen within a decade. And so the pace of this is very aggressive, right? And
very,
penetration through popular art, through movies, right? You got to scan every cartoon, every movie that you're exposing your family to in advance, right? It is really concerning. So even if they're not getting it in the curriculum at school, they're certainly getting it in the curriculum of.
You just mentioned some Netflix movies. They have the Muslim girl Fatima.
Heard of that? And we put pressure on Netflix, right? We had the boycott Netflix campaign. Alhamdulillah.
You heard about that? There was a.
I got shadow banned on social media for posting the boycott Netflix campaign.
And that revolves around this, what we're talking about.
Yeah, like who would think, like what natural, just common sense would allow you to think that a show sexualizing young Muslim girls in that way would be okay, you know. But
and then it seems like targeting the Muslim
yeah, I think
community here through this.
Look, I think that it's targeting communities that are naturally sort of resistant towards uh-huh. some of these ideologies and some yeah. of these ways of thinking, right? And so the pace is very aggressive. And so what does that mean for us? That means that everyone has a role to play. We need to create alternatives in media that are different than what's being fed to our children. We need yeah. good quality media. We need to have people that deconstruct at the philosophical level some of what is behind these ideologies. We need to have Muslims that can construct the alternative ways, inshallah ta'ala, that are closer to the fitrah and that resonate with people. We need to articulate our frameworks, inshallah ta'ala, better. And we need to work together, inshallah ta'ala, mm-hmm. to have a plan, strategic. So
You mentioned turning up the pace. I started thinking, like, you know, when Habib turns it up, you know what I mean? you don't slow down, you got to turn it up.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But, like, look, you know, you think about, you know, protecting religious institutions, mm-hmm. the right to function as our religious yeah. institutions, inshallah ta'ala, right? Our masajid, our Islamic schools. So you need to bring in your lawyers. You need to bring in...
Okay, so now we got an action plan. We're putting, get in the lawyers, keep going.
You need lawyers, you need people in media, you need religious scholars, you need people that are academics that can deconstruct this philosophically. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to bring people...
Medical professionals now.
Medical professionals. The point is that this is a multi-pronged
Is it being done
solution.
At all?
I think that
I think we can have a breakthrough with this program we're doing now, that we can start, because this is how it happens, you know what I mean? They're going to get the, when we did the push, you don't understand how many people contacted me when I did, I'm just striking an example, get the Coca-Colas out of the masjid, start eating Taiba. I was like, and this is out of my concern, you know, for the health of the Muslim, for the health of people, humanity in general. And I had people telling me, man, that really helped. And we started to clean up and we started to, you know, be more eating healthy. So inshallah, this can be something that we can kick off and people can really go ahead and put these action plans into effect.
Yeah, listen, the discourse itself is one thing. And, you know, I was at the MAF convention in Chicago. Sheikh Yasir Fahmy gave a beautiful talk. And Sheikh Yasir Fahmy said, you know, like, he gave this example of how someone came up to him afterwards and said, you know, this sounds like hate speech. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about being a mercy to the worlds. Rahmatan lil alameen, the Prophet ﷺ being a mercy to the worlds. And this sounds like hate speech. And he said, no, I don't think it's merciful to children to teach them that the only way they can be happy is to undergo all of these dramatic transformations and to be fed all of this. I think that's cruelty to them, actually. I think that's the opposite of rahmah. And he articulated it beautifully, and you saw the way it resonated with people as he was saying that.
Was this a Muslim who approached him who said that?
I believe so. Yeah. I can't remember the story as he told it. He's a good friend of mine, so I can call him up, you know, inshallah. But I think that that's one form of it, right? Like the idea of the discourse changing and for us to be able to challenge it, inshallah ta'ala, effectively. But what I'd also say...
Before you go to your next point, because it has me thinking, you see how quickly even Muslim, you get desensitized little by little and you start thinking it's normal. And now Fatima or Muhammad thinks like, hey, you know, I can fly, he jumps off the roof. He wouldn't do that. But now he starts thinking, hey, I'm a girl. And you see how the confusion hits home, penetrates. And next thing you know,
look,
we have to have, these are clear boundaries, you know, you can't cross them.
So it's multifaceted.
Yeah.
You know, there's also, mashallah, like, for example, what Brother Waheed Jensen and them are doing, the it's called Way Beyond the Rainbow podcast. You know, and we recently had a webinar at Yaqeen Institute about LGBT and some of the issues and addressing it from multiple angles. And I thought it was very well
done. Is that the brother who was going down a path? And like we opened up earlier, being a slave to your creator,
yes.
to be a slave to his desire, and he's helping people to get overcome.
Yes.
And they're trying
Sheikh
to pass.
Mustafa Amr talks about this.
And they're trying to pass laws. I guess again, that's that they also trying to stop things like this, aren't they? You know.
To be honest with you, I think that there's a lot of.
This is a good initiative now. He's showing that people can, you know.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of room for debate about what constitutes the legal and the illegal, but obviously the laws are definitely becoming more aggressive.
It's
and things
like,
of that
you know.
Sort. But I think the point is that you need an approach for Muslims that have desires. I think the point is that, like, look, you have to have a way for Muslims that want to be sincere slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and want to enslave themselves only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and want to be, you know, faithful Muslims and not succumb to the haram, right? And actually find ways to deal with the crisis that they have. Then you've got to have the political discourse. Then you've got to have the social discourse. Then you've got to have the media discourse and legal discourse. So to answer the very first question, something being done. Actually, alhamdulillah, there are a few efforts right now, a few Muslim scholars that are working with different folks, and inshallah ta'ala, there should be something within the next few months, within the night, out of something that's comprehensive, inshallah, about sort of a strategy for us as Muslims going forward.
What was your thought? Did you see that documentary, What is a Woman?
I didn't watch it personally, to be honest with you. Yeah,
I think you should watch it. I mean, it'd be nice if we can work with people like this, but then on the other end, you worry about the people like this also who have such a wrong image of Islam. But at the same time, you know, if these are the places
so
that we
I can't comment again. I didn't watch the documentary, and that's probably my fault. And I probably should watch the documentary to be able to give an informed opinion on it. Yeah. But I know enough from how people have discussed it. But I think to the broader point that you just mentioned, if Muslims start to have their own authentic discourse and their own strategy and their own platform, then they can then engage on the basis of those ideas rather than having to engage on the basis of other people's ideas and then take on their baggage. And I think that that's something that, frankly, we can take as a lesson for us, inshallah ta'ala. I speak to myself first. Like, we have to, inshallah ta'ala, articulate things from the Qur'an and the Sunnah that are authentic to our discourse, inshallah, and then engage the rest of society on the basis of that discourse and not always have to react to someone else's ideas and then take on their baggage. Because at the end of the day, even if at the output level we're going to agree with certain people on the right and certain people on the left on certain issues, you know, foundationally, we're different. We're operating from a different place. We're operating from divine revelation. We're operating from an entirely different worldview of Islam. And so that means that we have to be able to articulate that properly. You know, and I'd recommend, you know, we recently, alhamdulillah, released a paper from Dr. Carl Sharif Tubgi. And he talks about sort of the narratives, right? Islam and LGBT and the narratives, right? And building a worldview from an Islamic perspective. So we have to have our own worldviews that we engage with others on the basis of rather than constantly reacting to others. And then we work towards that which is good, inshallah ta'ala, in the most effective way together as a community in a way that demonstrates what we learn from our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we constantly try to not just help our own community navigate some of the turmoil that exists out there, but Islam was not just sent for the Muslims, right? It's for the world, right? Try to put forth a way that is better for the world, inshallah ta'ala, that can actually benefit people. We're not here to beat people into their darkness and save ourselves on the ship, right? We're here to help us all, inshallah ta'ala, with so much of what is happening to us in different ways. Help us all not drown in the darkness and lose ourselves, lose our sense of fitrah, lose our sense of who we are as human beings. Connect ourselves back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Work with people for that which is good, inshallah ta'ala. Work with people for that which is better. And to engage thoughtfully, inshallah, with our own frameworks, inshallah ta'ala, with our own foundation of Islam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to constantly come back to that, inshallah ta'ala, and to build from that place, inshallah ta'ala, that is pleasing to Him. And may He forgive us as we become desensitized to so much that's around us. You know, you think about alcohol, man, like, that's just one way, riba, right? Adultery. So many things that we've become desensitized to as Muslims. We can't become desensitized to any of these things, right? So to be grounded in that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to channel that in every effective way that we can, inshallah.
In closing, I like what you said, Islam is a mercy for all of mankind. You know, this is for everybody. And without mentioning any names, you had a very, very famous individual who's out there now, and agree with him or not, people are hearing the word Islam. They're going and looking it up, and they're fascinated. You know, I was watching a clip from a very famous individual. I think his name is Aiden or something, and he's talking about, man, you know, and I think he comes from a Jewish background, and he's looking like, man, the Quran, you know, there's things in there, makes sense. I'm looking into it, and just like, you know, amazing. So, you know, what would you say, just in closing up, for the people who are tuning in, they really respect, they like that, you know, they're seeing in their churches, they're allowing this stuff to go down. They're seeing things, you know, being compromised, you know, but they're seeing the Muslims are holding the ground. You know, they really, really respect that. But then they're just like, hold on, they're stuck on what we opened up. They're stuck on 9/11. You know, they're stuck on these, you know, stereotypes. How would you break down for someone who's like, you know, maybe this is the first time they're going to really have exposure to Islam? They agree with everything, okay? They could be the atheist who left Christianity, or the Christian who's not talking about Trinity, or whoever it is, you know, the Aiden who's listening, whoever it is out there, and they're just like, okay, we got them now. How would you summarize Islam? What would you say, you know, to have them continue that journey to really look into Islam, submission to the Creator, not the creation?
I would say, you know, first and foremost, from a Muslim perspective, look, you know, when you deal with us as Muslims, deal with us from a place of respect, not from seeing us as a tool to be used in any type of political chess game. And I think that's one of the problems, is that when one side beats us down, we run uncritically to the embrace of the other side. That's not who we have to be as Muslims. We have to be consistent. We have to be dignified. We have to hold ourselves, and we have to deal with society in ways, inshallah ta'ala, where we represent our faith accurately and beautifully, no matter who we're talking to, right? That's for us as Muslims, right? I'm not your Muslim. I am Allah's Muslim, right? It's not, I'm not going to be your Muslim because it's convenient to you right now. I want to be a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person who submits themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, talk to me, understand where I come from. And you might be surprised, right? But you have to leave your suspicions at the door. You've got to leave all of those things at the door and interact with us as Muslims, as people, right? And try to understand where we come from. I don't expect you to agree with me on everything. But if you hear me out and listen to what I have to say and know me as a human being, know me as a person, then we'll meet at a place that's better than the one we're at right now. And that's true for people wherever they're coming from, whatever you're entryway is, whatever your vantage point is. We have our religion, we have it very beautifully, and we can articulate it, inshallah ta'ala, and we can deal with people in a beautiful way. And you'd be surprised, you know, if you actually got to know a Muslim, talk to a Muslim, and not see us as a tool, but see us as a means, or not as a means, that's actually the opposite, but see us as a way in which you can enrich yourself, your own understanding. And so talk to us, whoever you are, right, and understand us, and try to understand this away from sort of the online world and social media. And you're right, look, people are going to get introduced to Islam in many different ways. Sometimes they're going to get introduced to Islam through personalities, and those personalities might not be proper representatives of Islam. But you know what? Like, how many people were introduced to Islam through, you know, the Nation of Islam, right? So people will find out about Islam through their different ways. They might find out about it through the mouth of a person who's calling this the most violent religion on earth. They might find out about it through the mouth of someone that's calling it the most regressive religion on earth. They might find out about it from a person who has qualities that are severely undesirable and views maybe that don't align with Islam, but they're saying, you know, things that are positive about Islam. Look, learn Islam for what it truly is. Talk to us and learn Islam for what it truly is. And we have a right as Muslims in this society to be fully Muslim and to articulate our Islam, inshallah ta'ala, fully, and to practice our Islam fully. And what that's going to mean, inshallah ta'ala, is you're going to hopefully have a consistent faith community, and a faith community that brings about good wherever it is. Ideally, wherever Muslims are, inshallah ta'ala, there shouldn't just be more parking issues, but there should be more goodness to that entire society and that entire community around, to where people will learn to love our religion because of the way that we carry ourselves, inshallah ta'ala.
And it reminds me, you know, because people know Jesus and many don't know that we love Jesus, peace be upon him. You can't be a Muslim unless you believe and love Jesus. But then it reminds me of a statement from the last and final messenger sent to mankind, where he's going around this house. It's like a beautiful brick house, beautiful mansion. How would you describe it? You can elaborate on this. And there was one brick missing. And people are just adoring this. They're like, wow, this is so beautiful. But they're like, there's one brick missing. He says, I am that brick. I'm the seal of the prophets. Can you elaborate that? I just have this individual's name, Aiden, in my head. He's a very, very well-known person. Someone shared it with me. So he's from a Jewish background.
I think if you're super religious and like, bro, I'm Jewish, and the Quran is like, there's a lot of truth to the Quran, bro. Like, a lot of stuff that I really like stand by. Like, the Quran is beautiful, and I haven't really studied the Holy Bible like that, but the Quran itself is just, I don't know,
It's just
do you think so? I don't know nothing about the Quran, so educate me. Is a Quran like,
okay, can I be honest? A lot of the stuff the Quran has applies to today, like a lot, bro. That's I watch videos on it, and I read up on stuff, and people discuss it and break it down because I don't really understand, you know.
Now, you know, someone like this out there, he thinks, oh man, you know, how am I going to go against my family, my this, that, and the other? Islam transcends all that. And if you're, like we started, if you really are a slave to your creator, you love your creator, you're going to transcend all those things. For someone like Aiden, whoever else is out there, just use his name because now he's fortunate enough. This can be a sign, you know, from the creator. We're discussing his name and we're mentioning this. But what would you say to that person? Where's a good place to start? You know, where is a good place to start for that individual, you know, to go ahead and start that journey? You know, how important it is for a person. I've asked so many people, have you ever thought about the purpose of life? People will be sometimes in their 80s. I do this experiment, and they'll be looking at me like I asked them some, you know, mathematical equation that, you know, it'd be obvious they never thought about that. But a simple question like, purpose of life, have you thought about it? Someone can be in their 80s, and they're like, no, I haven't. Has anyone ever asked you that? And then the other thing is, I ask people, I was like, have you ever asked the Creator for guidance? Have you ever, so basic, simple, have you ever asked the one who created you to guide you? How important are these two fundamental questions?
Well, you can't know Islam without knowing the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And so you need to know his person, you need to know his character, you need to know his mission, you need to learn about him, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He is the final brick in that he brings together the call of all of the messengers and prophets of one God, and then leaves behind not just a revelation that's intact, but an example that's intact of how to practice that revelation from that one true God. And so learn the Quran, learn about the biography of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. You know, I wrote a book about a series that I did called Meeting Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is about his shamal, just his person, who he was. Learn his biography, learn about who he was, learn about his proofs. And then Sheikh Muhammad al-Shinawi wrote a book called The Proofs of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
A lot of good powerful points there. Yes. I read this in article format, real powerful.
You're so amazing. Actually, ebook.
I can't believe someone to go through that sincerely and look at it and be like, there's no way this this can be an imposter. Muhammad, this can be a fake. No way.
Proofs of prophethood.
ELSHI. I actually interviewed him and we went through some of these points exactly on this. Yes.
So the proofs of prophethood. Go through it. Consider the test of his prophethood. And
consider the test of his prophethood.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And ask God sincerely for guidance in the process.
Ask, when God, you say God, which God? People are like, you know, do I pray Jesus,
ask
Muhammad?
Ask God, God of the Lord of the heavens and the earth. Okay. Say, oh God, my creator, Lord of the heavens.
Do they put a picture
in
front of them? Do they do some, have to get some candles? Do they have to get romantic? How does it go?
Just sincerely, from the depths of your heart, in the privacy of your home, ask God for guidance.
No one has to be there. You have to make a call, nothing, just...
No, man, they don't have to call me. But if they want to, it's 1-800 and it's 50 cents a minute, right?
That's
No, that's all. Just privately, they...
They don't have to go to a clergyman, none of this, you know, nothing esoteric, like some strange stuff. Just, that's it. That's simple?
That's it. That's simple. And finally, you'll find the purpose when you find the proof. So look for the proof.
You'll find the purpose.
And be willing
when you find
to submit yourself to the truth.
Be ready to and willing to submit yourself to the truth. Let's end with that. Beautiful.
Jazakallah.
Thank you, my brother.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa barakatuh.
We're here with Siraj from Dawood. So hail Allah.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, guys. So we signed everything here. Bismillah. Now we're off to the next step. We gotta get the keys now.
Ya hello, 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 جمعة الخير هلا حن قلبي على جمعة الخير هلا يا هلا ويا هلا ويا هلا ويا هلا يا هلا ويا هلا ويا هلا ويا هلا حن قلبي على جمعة الخير هلا حن قلبي على جمعة الخير هلا بالحب اجتمعنا وربنا يحييكم بالحب اجتمعنا وربنا يحييكم مرحبا ويا هلا فيكم انتم منا واحنا فيكم بالمحبة نحييكم يا هلا ويا هلا يا هلا ويا هلا ويا هلا ويا هلا
The amount of Muslims around here, it's pretty huge. And the place, the location that you opened in, basically it's further south from the other big masajid. And everyone, I know a lot of people that I come. My cousin lives 9 minutes from here. Another uncle of mine lives about 5 to 10 minutes from here. This area, the masjid, alhamdulillah, opened up in an area that it's much needed. And this size, this center is much needed for this area. And the idea of this center is needed for the whole state, because we don't have anything like that in the whole state. A da'wah center where it's going to basically nurture and basically educate, and it's going to basically spread Islam.
Hello,